The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Tony, a pair of Michael Jordan's game-worn sneakers from his rookie season just sold for a record $1.47 million.
Tony Kornheiser, I don't know how I bought them. I was trying to order a pair of Crocs. I don't know what happened. You think Tony, ESPN will let me expense it? Can I expense
yeah,
it? What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, you could say it was part of business and entertainment, right? That's a category in the Disney expense system that I've taken personal advantage of over the years, sure.
Yeah. I don't know who actually bought him, but I think he was an agent for Wilbon. That's what I think we're gonna find out. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon has the day off, so I am joined by our great friend, the host of the ESPN Daily podcast, and the MC of our 20th anniversary specials, Mr. Pablo Torre. Nice applause. And we begin today with the World Series. For the first time in the 118-year history of the Fall Classic, the first batter of the series hit a home run. That was Jorge Soler of the Braves. And probably for the first time ever, the starting pitcher broke his leg during the game and still pitched. That was Charlie Morton of the Braves. The Braves had all the firsts, and they won the first game 6-2. Pablo, Morton is now out for the rest of this series. How does this change the Braves' outlook?
I mean, the Braves should be worried, Tony, but before we get to their emotional state after the fact, let's get to the fact. Charlie Morton didn't just break his leg. He broke his leg and faced three batters. He broke his leg, struck out a dude, and then struck out Altuve looking. So the idea that Charlie Morton went better than Bob Gibson, actually, right, in the World Series on a fractured leg, there should be some sort of plaque somewhere for this guy for all time. But what his loss now does, of course, is make Game 4 and 5 enormous question marks, right? Game 4 was going to be a bullpen game, Tony. We know the World Series, like all of the postseason, is going to be so reliant on relief pitching. Half of all the innings pitched have been by relievers. Now the Braves have fewer relievers that are ready to go because they burned them because Morton got hurt. And now they don't have Morton himself. So what do you do? Max Fried on short rest? There are major real questions that, if it comes down to a close series, the Braves will have a real disadvantage at.
I totally agree with you on Charlie Morton. He was football tough out there. He was Jack Youngblood out there. You don't usually see that in baseball. That was great. And the new slogan for baseball is 27 different pitchers for 27 different outs. Houston is used to this. They don't have great starting pitching. This doesn't worry them at all. And by the way, their starter, Valdez, the last time he was terrible, he came back and he threw 8 innings of one-run ball against the Boston Red Sox. We're probably going to see him in Game 4. We're certainly going to see him again. You mentioned bullpen games for the Braves in 4 and 5. They were going to have to do it in one of those games anyway, so it's really just one more game. I don't think that this completely alters the line of the World Series. Not to me. It really doesn't. Mm. I mean, teams cope with these kinds of things. If you ask me what alters the line of the World Series, I will tell you it's something that the Braves did in the middle of the season when they furnished their outfield with 4 guys who didn't start the season with them. Soler, Eddie Rosario, Jock Peterson, and Adam Duvall, who hit a home run last night. Right? I mean, that is general manager of the year stuff. They're trying to replace Acuna, and they bring in 4 guys who are hitting like crazy.
Yeah, no, Tony, nobody has been better at making up for sudden and spectacular losses like the Braves. Eddie Rosario, just for the record here, the list of hitters, lefties in the postseason all time in terms of OPS, it goes Gehrig and Ruth, who are tied, and then it goes to Eddie Rosario. So the idea that the Braves have solutions coming out of nowhere, this would be the team that actually does have that. Yeah. But Tony, we move on because we are one night away from what should now be the sexiest Thursday night football game of the season, with Aaron Rodgers and the 6-1 Packers traveling to Arizona to take on Kyler Murray and the unbeaten Cardinals, except all-pro wideout Devontae Adams might miss the game due to COVID, Alan Lazard is definitely out as a close contact of him. So, Tony, are the Packers' potential absences making you discount this marquee game?
Okay, I don't discount any game that Aaron Rodgers plays in. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is that great. He's the reigning MVP. There is this very weird set of statistics that have to do with when Devontae Adams doesn't play with Aaron Rodgers over the last 2 years. And Devontae Adams, great player. So you automatically think if he's not playing, that's it. You can't win the game. But let me give you these statistics. 6 times in the last 2 years, he hasn't played with Rodgers. Rodgers is 6-0 in those games. Rodgers has scored 7 more points a game without Adams. He's thrown 17 touchdown passes and 1 pick without Adams. It just seems very counterintuitive to me. If you ask me which team I think is better right now, though, regardless of who's out, I think it's Green. I think it's Arizona. Green Bay has won 6 in a row, but here's who they beat, Pablo. Detroit, the 49ers, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, the Bears, and Washington. One winning team, Cincinnati. Yeah. Arizona has passed every test. They won at Tennessee. They won at the Rams. They beat Cleveland. And I think Minnesota, who they beat, I think is a pretty good team. So to me, the statistic that is unassailable, the Packers are plus 22 so far in point differential. In 7 games, Arizona is, plus 113. It's the best in the NFL. They're a better team right now than Green Bay.
I completely agree with you about the Cardinals being better than Green Bay. I love the fact that Vance Joseph got out there and was talking about the statistics that you mentioned, Tony, off the top of his head about how much better Aaron Rodgers is without Devontae Adams, almost as if he was taunting Devontae Adams, talking about how sometimes Aaron Rodgers forces the ball to him. He falls into a trap to target him too many times. Is that gamesmanship? Is that expectation management? I don't know, but that is the reality that you have described. But for the Cardinals, the other reality here is that they're also going to be missing J.J. Watt now. He's going to be out in this game. So if you thought that game was going to be an uneven matchup because one guy might be out on the other, no. The Cardinals' defense, even without Watt, they have been the best in the NFL so far. It's not just Kyler Murray, Tony. It's the fact that they've given up fewer points than anybody else because they got Buda Baker and Isaiah Simmons and J.J. Watt. And, of course, Chandler Jones has been a revelation. Yeah.
They're really good. But if you want to know how important it is, the notion that Devontae Adams might miss the game, the line went from Green Bay +3 to Green Bay +6.5 in 48 hours. Okay, that's an enormous jump at that point. And, of course, it's a Thursday game. They don't have time to change the playbook. Well, Sunday would be different. It's Thursday. We move on. The Knicks beat the 76ers last night for the first time since 2017. They had lost 15 straight times to Philadelphia. The Garden crowd last night mocked the Sixers by chanting, "Where's Ben Simmons?" Pablo. You used to be a Knicks fan, and now you're a Sixers apologist. Which of these teams are you more confident in?
So I want to say this up front, Tony, because what Madison Square Garden is like, especially on the street outside after these games, there's no place more fun when you have a little bit of rain in that desert. Knicks fans are celebrating every night like it's a championship. This was one of those games. So which team do I have more confidence in right now? It's the Knicks. And Tony, it's because the Ben Simmons end of the equation is the one that I have been pointing to and circling and telling people, you underestimate how important he is. You know who'd be helpful in stopping Kemba Walker or Evan Fournier, who apparently is doing stuff for the Knicks right now? It's the guy who was the runner-up defensive player of the year, the best perimeter defender by some accounting in the NBA, Ben Simmons. You know who'd be helpful when your team, the Sixers, is only shooting, I believe, like 20-something percent from three last night? Well, yes, he does not shoot three-pointers, but he creates more three-pointers than anybody else. That would be Ben Simmons. They need him back to be good in this regular season and in the postseason. Until he gets back, I do believe the Knicks have an edge in this head-to-head matchup right now.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that the Knicks hadn't beaten them 15 straight like that, and they got to the playoffs last year, finished fourth, and didn't even beat Philadelphia. Then he immediately lost to Atlanta. I mean, I'm not going to make a big case for the Knicks. Kemba Walker and Fournier make them a better team. The Sixers are not a better team right now than they were last year because they don't have Ben Simmons, because Daryl Morey has stuck his heels in the ground and said, we're not moving on this thing. Now, maybe he gets back. There's a report that he practiced with the team and that Doc Rivers said, and I want to get this quote accurately, that's a huge moment for the team. That's nice, but you wake me when he actually plays. This gives me the opportunity to talk about the yappy Joel Embiid, which I like to do. Joel Embiid just recently called Ben Simmons a baby and said, and again, I want to get this right, I don't care about that man. And then apparently yesterday he had a change of heart because he spoke for a change out of the other side of his mouth, where he said, we could really use him back and I'd be happy to play with him. This is what Embiid did last night in one word: nothing. He played 30 minutes. He had only 7 shots. He made only 2 shots. He thinks he's the best player in the world. He got 2 baskets last night. He got 14 points and he got 6 rebounds in 30 minutes. You know who has numbers like that? Marvin Bagley. And you know where Marvin Bagley is now? He's on the bench is where he is now.
Joel Embiid, Tony, as much as I cannot possibly co-sign Marvin Bagley as his direct comparison point, what I will co-sign is the idea that Joel Embiid has written checks that his body literally cannot cash because his body is not prepared for the strictures of a season in which he must carry the load over and over again. It's really easy. I've noticed this, Tony. If you're playing in Philly as an athlete, it's really easy to pander to Philly fans because they love nothing more than the hard hat and the lunch pail, and for you to tell them how much you love the fact that they sometimes hate you. But guess what happens when you lose? Guess what happens when you lose, Joel Embiid?
They hate you.
They just hate you, period.
They hate you. 14 and 6 in 30 minutes. Really. Let's take a break, but coming up, Baker Mayfield says he's feeling noticeably better. Would the Browns be wise to start him on Sunday?
And I believe there is also something else happening, and it involves a high school touchdown that we're going to need a word to describe, though.
Yeah. So I do this. I mean, I do this because Wilbon loves Embiid so. And I know you're not Wilbon. But I mean, come on. 7 shots in 30 minutes?
It was one of the worst games since game 7 of the finals that he lost last year.
Pardon the interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
I've got my doctor's coat on. I'm ready to give Pablo an uncomfortable procedure. And what's the word? What's first?
Ugh. It's blank that Russell Westbrook had his best game as a Laker while LeBron was sitting out last night.
It's obvious. Look what happened. LeBron sits out. Anthony Davis gets 35 and 17. If Westbrook sits out, Anthony Davis gets 35 and 17. They both need the ball. They're both diminished without the ball. They're both, at this point in their careers, point guards. Okay? How many balls are they using in basketball? Still one, isn't it? So if it's still one, you can't put them out on the court together and expect great results. Let LeBron rest a little bit, take 20 games off, whatever, but they both need the ball.
Tony, that's why this was fossil fuelish. Fossil fuelish because guess what? In the present tense, looks great. Hey, Russell Westbrook can still do it right now when LeBron is out. But in the future, there are negative consequences. Your future is imperiled. Because, Tony, the number one question around this team is not whether Russell Westbrook can run an offense if you give him the ball and let him run with a long leash. The question is, how does he fit alongside LeBron James? This game nothing to answer that question, it complicated the answer. Because now Russell Westbrook has been reminded, I can still do this. Why would I want to not do this again?
We are in agreement on this. What's next?
The Browns would be blank to start Baker Mayfield on Sunday against the Steelers.
They would be fortunate. If he's healthy and he thinks his shoulder feels better, if he's ready to go, you start him. Even at 75%, he gives you the best chance to win. And by the way, if Cleveland at home can't beat Pittsburgh, I don't want to hear about Cleveland in the playoffs anymore this year. I simply don't want to hear it. They're supposed to do that. If it doesn't work out and he's not good, you know that Case Keenum is good enough to win with because you just saw that happen. You know, and if you're Pittsburgh, you want to win this game because it gives you the ability to fantasize about making the playoffs. And if you lose, if you're Pittsburgh, maybe USC will call Mike Tomlin and say, really, are you sure?
No, Tony, this is why this is Kornheiserian, and I say that in two different ways. Number one, because if the Browns do this, this means they are way too worried. Why are you so anxious about trying to beat the Steelers with Case Keenum? You just did it against the Broncos, a better defense. This is way too much stress level, not necessary. But it's anti-Kornheiserian, I just realized now, if you're Baker Mayfield. Because if you have that kind of a rotator cuff injury and you don't have to play and you're thinking you're good enough to do it, why are you so confident? I would be far more concerned if I'm Baker Mayfield about injuring myself, quite honestly.
Next.
This high school touchdown was blank.
I got a long word here. It's not really one word, but my word is not in the play design. When you are the quarterback and the called play is to pitch the ball to the running back, the last thing you expect is a DB from the other team to catch that pitch and go 50 yards for the touchdown. If you are the quarterback, you ask yourself two immediate questions. Who is this guy and what's he doing here? How did this happen? How did we get a pitch six against us? Let me also just say this. This is Cathedral Prep from Erie, Pennsylvania. Pablo, when I was in college a long, long time ago, I drove through Erie, Pennsylvania. And if I recall correctly, and I think I do, they had a red light at the bottom of the traffic light and a green light at the top. I'm pretty sure about that, as I am pretty sure that Sharon Stone is from that area, as is the lead singer from Train, as is my friend, the great turf writer, Andy Beyer. Please talk.
My word, Tony, is gerontophobic. This was gerontophobic. And I say that because it was against the old people. This was a play that should be blamed on the opposing adult, on the coach, who apparently has telegraphed the play that was pitch-sixted, whatever you called it there, the pitch-sixted. This was the adult's fault. And guess what this guy did, who did accomplish this great thing? He called his own number. He said to his coach, the old guy, no, I'm supposed to do zone. I'm supposed to do blitz contain on this. No, I'm taking this for myself. A victory for the youngs over the olds.
Let's at least call out his name so he knows we care about him. Joaquin Page, okay? Mm. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, how concerned should the Bulls be about Zach LaVine's thumb injury? Wilbon chaotic about this.
And if the Jets, Tony, just traded for Joe Flacco, then why isn't he starting on Sunday?
They got Mike White, don't they? Don't they have Mike White?
Yeah, everybody knows Mike
White. Isn't he what the Jets need?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Lonzo Ball. We've been talking about the Ball family for so many years. I assume Lonzo was closer to 30 by now. Lonzo was the second overall pick out of UCLA by the Lakers in 2017. Then general manager Magic Johnson said he saw a lot of himself in Lonzo. That pairing didn't last long. Magic quit. Lonzo was shipped to New Orleans as part of the package for Anthony Davis. Lonzo is now in Chicago, his third team already. He has yet to make the playoffs, but he has improved his shooting markedly. He's up to 41% from the field and a respectable 38% from three. Lonzo was up to 78% from the free throw line last season, though he's only taken 261 free throws in 221 games. By contrast, James Harden takes about 800 free throws per season. Lonzo's younger brother, LaMelo, seems to be the better ball at the moment, but there's a lot of time on the clock.
Tony, I have no idea where LaVar Ball is. He has two top three picks. They can both shoot three-pointers, despite physics indicating that they shouldn't be able to. How he's not crowing from a mountaintop right now is stunning to me.
Happy anniversary, Emmitt Smith. On this day 19 years ago, Smith broke Walter Payton's career rushing record of 16,726 yards. Smith went on to push the record to 18,355 yards. Look, Jim Brown is the greatest running back of all time, but Emmitt Smith is on the short list and has to be mentioned in any running back tribute. Smith and Irvin and Aikman should never have to pay for a meal in Dallas. Running backs have been downgraded in recent years. The conventional wisdom among GMs and coaches is you can plug anybody into that position. But a great running back still stands out. The issue is longevity. So few great running backs are great for long. Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson were, and they're gone now. The active running backs with the most yards are Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry, both in their sixth seasons. They're a little more than one-third of the way to Emmitt. Pablo, do you think they'll get there? Because I don't.
I don't think they will, Tony, because of health. Derrick Henry, at the pace he's at, last 40 games, 120 yards rushing per game. He could do it at age 33, but he needs to play every single game, and I would never take that for granted in the modern NFL.
Happy trails, Nikola Jokic. The reigning NBA MVP went down hard in the second quarter last night after banging his right knee against Rudy Gobert's right knee. The result was a knee contusion that kept Jokic out for the remainder of Denver's 122-110 loss in Utah. Denver coach Michael Malone said after the game he didn't think the injury was too serious, but he decided to shut Jokic down in the second half for safety's sake. In just 15 minutes of the first half, Jokic had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists, Joel Embiid. Lord. But to be fair, he did not break his leg and then throw 16 pitches and get 2 strikeouts like Charlie Morton did he?
Jokic is so fun to watch, Tony. The Nuggets, though, have realized we don't have Jamal Murray right now. The regular season means nothing to us. We're unlike Utah in that sense. The postseason, getting them healthy, is our number one priority.
Let's go to the big finish. Zach LaVine has a torn ligament in the thumb of his non-shooting hand. Is that a big deal?
He's been playing like an all-MVP, all-NBA caliber player. Absolutely, it's a big deal. The Warriors, Tony, they beat the Thunder to move to 4-0. Is that significant?
Not beating the Thunder. They're a bad team. But 4-0, you can't do much better in 4 games, can you? The United States women's soccer team beat South Korea 6-0 in Carly Lloyd's last game. Your thoughts?
That sounds about right. She once outscored the country of Japan in the World Cup. She's one of the most influential soccer players ever. This side of Mia Hamm absolutely deserved. The Padres have reportedly interviewed Ozzie Guillen for their manager opening. Is that a good fit?
He hasn't managed in 10 years. He's been doing television work. I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. Last one, the Jets will start your boy Mike White at quarterback against the Bengals on Sunday. Is that a good choice?
It's a good choice because we're going to hear, Tony, chance for Joe Flacco. We will get Flacco chance, which will be incredible. And
absolutely. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get good podcasts. And now here is SportsCenter.
Patrick O'Neill, shout out.